You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino the Mayor here in a blustery Monday morning, 34 in Green Bay, 36 in Appleton, 36 in Oshkosh. Cold wind out there, up to 23 miles an hour, high in the mid-30s today. Not nice, a National Beer Day. Special thanks to our great guests so far today, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media Meteorologist, Chuck Wellens, of course, our veteran spotlight, Mayor Steve Genesot, and Sean Katzbeck from the City of Marinette. And now Matt Orzala, Green Bay Fringe Festival. And we were talking through the break here. Matt and I worked together for years, and his dad, it's so funny, I was talking about his dad last week. Who do we have in ag-wise? And he said, I used to come out to your...
Was it Mullane Wells?
Yes.
Yeah.
Breakfast on the Farms. And I swear, Mike Austin was at every single one I ever did, no matter where it was. But it's I would... Okay, so Mike is a great guy, but, you know, Mike could be, you know, pretty stern, too. I would not like to see what would happen the night Jim got in a fight with Kenny G's people at the Widener, now that your dad works at the Widener.
Yeah, so we were talking about it. My dad is now, like, one of the floor organizers or floor supervisors over at the Widener. He and my mom both do it, and Dad... Knowing Dad immediately moved himself up a couple of roles.
Right.
Like, oh, you need someone to raise your hand.
So he would have been guy in charge when Jim had Kenny G by the throat.
They would have been, excuse me, Mike, can you come on down? The mayor is
and
taking
Kenny
a
G.
I would have listened to your dad.
Kenny G was mad that he was ringing the bell for the Christmas. No, yeah.
Salvation Army.
Yep. He got mad at you. Okay, this I got to hear then. He got mad at you for ringing the bell?
Mm-hmm. Salvation Army, right?
Like, did you get on stage while he was playing?
No. It was before the show, and you get out there and ring the bells. And he was actually, it was weird. He was signing autographs before the show.
Okay.
And had a table down, and I was ringing the bell, and you could see he was kind of looking down over there. And then his manager, it wasn't really Kenny, it was his manager that came over, and he said, you stop ringing the bell. I'm like, what? He said, it's kind of getting in Kenny's head a little bit. He wants to stop ringing the bell.
I said,
that's what he said. And this is a professional, like, you know, I said, hey, here you go. You tell Kenny to put $5,000 in this bucket and I'll stop ringing a bell because that's what I'm going to make tonight. So he goes back there and I start ringing the bell. And then all of a sudden, this entourage comes over. Mayor, you got to stop ringing a bell. You can move over to the other end. I said, why can't he move over to the other end? Because people are walking by me. And anyway, got to be a little bit of a...
So he grabbed Kenny's sack. Hey, you know, it was like Kramer in the Seinfeld.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember?
Yeah.
You kept ringing the bell?
I kept making the stops.
Anyway. Oh, man. Matt Orzala in here, Green Bay Fringe.
Yes.
Tell us about this great thing.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so first of all, I got to say, I was sweating a little bit when the mayors were on talking about the boat races, because those sound fantastic.
That's going to be fun.
Man.
So I'm glad that's early June, because we are in the middle of July here in Green Bay, is where the Green Bay Fringe Festival is going to be taking place.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
They got it going on up there. I was just talking to them a little bit. Yeah. They've got a little bit more going on. And we, you know, who doesn't like Marinette, but we really want to work closer with them on a couple things.
Yeah.
Fringe Fest is July?
Yeah, the Fringe Fest is July. Yeah, so it's July 17th through the 20th. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The show's Thursday night, Friday night, basically all day Saturday, most of the morning on Sunday. And what's really cool about it, we've expanded. One of the great things is, you know, whenever you have a festival, and they talked about it a little bit for that as well, you're always trying to grow it a little bit more every year. That's the sign of a good festival. You have success and you're able to grow a little bit more. So this year we've actually expanded the number of spaces we have. We're in 9 different spaces all throughout downtown Green Bay. Where returning groups are like the Art Garage, the Depot, Lion's Mouth Bookstore, which is just a stone's throw from where we are right here. And then we've got some new people. We've got Captain's Walk Winery. We've got the Tarleton Theater. St. Brennan's, Safe Haven Pet Sanctuary. The Compound, which is actually right next to the Art Garage. And then, I don't know if you ever heard of Frank Herman or not. He has a rehearsal space, which is a great performance area
on
as
Broadway.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we're going to be there as well. So we've got 9 different
Explain
locations.
Explain what it is, Matt.
Sure. So what a Fringe Festival is, it comes from Edinburgh, Scotland. They had a big theater festival, and not everyone could get into it. So some of the acts started just showing up anyway because they knew people were going to be there. They knew they'd make $5,000 if they rang a bell that day. And so they started to get together.
At least he listens.
Yeah. Started to get together along the edges of the festival. And so literally they were a fringe festival. And then these had become to be popularized all across.
Kind of like what I've wanted to do with like a pasty stand right outside the NFL draft thing. Uper Village.
Yeah, Uper Village.
You're the fringe.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So just outside the draft, you'd have Uper Village. Also, you could have the bookie, you know, and take bets on the races.
This guy does listen.
Yeah, I was listening on the way in. Exactly. I wanted to have something to talk about.
Right.
So they started coming up all over the place. There's ones in Tampa and Cleveland. There's one in Minnesota. There's one in Indianapolis. And so we decided last year that we would host one here. And so basically what it is we open up the spaces and the days, and we have artists come in from all over the state, all over the country.
Artists, you're talking about a huge variety of, quote, artistes.
Yes, exactly. A huge variety of artistes, which is one of the things that makes the Fringe kind of interesting and exciting as well. We have one-person shows. We have bands. We have stand-up comedians. We have puppet shows. We have shows that are built a little bit more for kids. We have shows that are built a little bit more for adults. We've got shows that deal with some pretty serious topics. We've got some that are very lighthearted. We've got the circus act is back again this year.
Cool.
And that's actually a really nice thing as well. Is we have 38 acts this year. We had, I want to say, 28 or so last year. We've got 38 coming this year. And what's really nice about it, two things. One, we've got repeat acts coming back, which again is also
great,
success.
Man. You bet.
They had a great time. They wanted to come back. But then two, one of the other nice things is, like I said, Minneapolis, Minnesota has a massive Fringe Festival. And we actually, through people that came to ours, were able to make connections over there. So now we actually kind of have a working partnership with them where every year now you can apply to one of the two locations, and if you get pulled in the special lottery, you actually get to go to both of them. And so that's a really neat opportunity to build connections with some of these other art communities that are going on.
How did this
get
started?
So the way that this one in Green Bay got started, myself and the board president, Mike Esserkan, who's actually very involved in the arts, not only here in Green Bay and De Pere, but he's actually on the city council over in De Pere as well. So he's an elected official as well. But we were talking about it two years ago, and we said, hey, we'd like to go do another Fringe Festival. We'd done one in Indianapolis like a decade earlier. But, of course, time and travel and all that stuff. And so finally one day he said, could we just do one here? And we'd both sit in there and went, I think so. I don't see any reason we couldn't do one here. Mm-hmm. And no one stopped us for about 6 months. And next thing we knew, we had posters and we were telling people that what was going on. And we put up the website, which is gbfringe.com. People started applying for it. And it just took off from there. So,
you know, I think maybe I had my head in the sand, but it seems like over the last 5 years or so, the art community of Northeast Wisconsin has really come together.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I would 100% agree, because having done it, because I've worked at Comedy City, which is improvisational comedy, but it's over in De Pere, longest running improvisational comedy thing. I've worked with them for 20 plus years. Yeah, a lot of theater groups are very secluded and isolated
and
from each other.
Splintered, yeah.
Yes, exactly, which is kind of crazy, because I get that you're all trying to get money from the same group of people, but at the same time, if you're all working together, everyone can do better. You know,
Absolutely.
If you're not conflicting with when you're having your shows, or you're not like worried about poaching each other's talent, that sort of stuff. So over the last 5 years, you're right, John, people have really come better together in the art community. They're much better about sharing. They're much better about taking turns and like working hand in hand. And I think the Fringe Festival is another evolution of that, because we do have a lot of local art groups as well that are going to be performing in.
Well, even like we went to Naomi's like summer grand opening at the Art Garage right over across the thing here. And just the talent, we're just walking like, who did that? It's like, well, I did this. It's like, wow. I mean, phenomenal sculptors and things like that around here.
Yeah.
And this Fringe thing touches all of it, right? I mean, sometimes you think, you know, Tarleton's pretty big on music, but, you know, there's the visual arts, you know, the dancing, of course, the music. Eventually what we need to find in this community is a revenue source that's sustainable, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you got the sales tax right now, and even 0.25% of this, you know what I mean? And other communities do that. I mean, I was telling these guys that I was at the legislative fiscal bureau budget thing, and there were some people from Door County saying, in the county, we need money to keep the arts going, because it's just not the most revenue generating for whatever reason, right?
It's
I mean,
not,
it just is. So I love what you're doing, and I would agree that more people want the arts.
Yeah, no, they really do. And what's great about this is, so it's a great opportunity because each show is 30 to 55 minutes or so. Tickets are only $10 each. A lot of them, you know, there'll be a show in a space and then there'll be another show shortly after that in a space. And again, all these spaces, Art Garage, Charlton, Depot, Captain's Walk Winery, Lion's Mouth, St. Brennan, Safe Haven, Frank's Compound. We tried to select them as well, so they're all very close to each other. In all reality, if you want a good stretch of the legs, you can get from one end to the other, even by foot. But they're all very close. They're all very local. And so by doing that, it allows people to, yeah, expose themselves more to the arts. And again, we sold over 800 tickets last year. And so we're hoping to do even more this year with the extra spaces, the extra performers. But those are people that are coming in from out of town as well, getting experience Green Bay, getting experience the area, spending their money here, spending on hotels, spending on food, you know, kind of like they were talking about in Marina as well. Like that extra revenue that comes in as well. And our hope is to grow it to a thing that people look forward to coming to every year and even come up to Green Bay to see.
And I think people do like to come to Green Bay in the summer. I mean, like arts. It's pretty good all year, but the reason we're so successful in the first couple months is if we're in the playoffs. I mean, really, if we're not, we're just not as successful.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing, and to do something like this is just makes us look like a cooler city. I mean, we got Bay Beach and a lot of other things to do, and this is awesome.
Green Bay had never been a hub of artistic. And now it's becoming.
Yeah. Well, we were even talking about that a little bit before we went on again about the Winer, and you were saying the Winer is just
spectacular.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful building, and it's such a great place for the art. But even that is way off on the GB campus, which again is a great campus and it's a beautiful building. But for someone who's even downtown or over on the far west side, that's a bit of a hike to get over to.
Right.
And sometimes we don't then get the opportunity to even take part in some of those, that art stuff, you know?
Right. What are some, like, if somebody wants to take part, is it too late or could they still be a presenter or what would you consider?
Great question. If someone wanted to be a performer this year, unfortunately, we've already closed that off. That application process typically runs December into January.
Oh, wow.
And just simply because we need to know how many spaces we need. We need to know how many volunteers we're going to need. We need to know, like, one of the things we're expanding into this year is we're trying to offer volunteer housing for people.
I was going to ask you my next, where does everybody stay when they come to town?
Yeah, so last year, a lot of them did hotels, or some of them did camping actually out by like the new zoo. There's the camp set out that way. This year we were trying to offer more like volunteer housing because again, that saves some of their cost, makes them more eager to come back, that sort of thing. But yeah, so you can find out more information about that as gbfringe.com/volunteers. You can always contact us. And we can.
I'll take a comedian, not Kenny G.
Exactly. Mary's having flashbacks all of a sudden.
You know what? Do me a favor. Can you stick around?
I asked
him. Hold that thought.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks,
Tom. We got to get more details. Matt Orzala. Don't you go by Matt Z anymore?
No, why?
Because I'm cool radio name.
I know, but I'm trying to be more professional these days.
Perspiring up here a little bit. He's bringing flashbacks.
Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back. We are here with Matt talking about the Fringe Fest. And this Fringe, that's just a cool name for a cool events, and it's everything. It's the arts, it's dancing, it's music.
Yeah, it really is. It's great. We're really excited about, we have 38 acts coming across 9 different spaces, and we do. We have dancing acts, we have stand-up comedians, we have improvisers, we've got puppet shows, we've got that circus group, the Dinder Brothers Circus is back again this year. We have a couple of favorites from last year are coming back in. We've got one group, it's a pair of ladies that they're very funny. They're actually from Minnesota, but they do an improvised podcast, basically. They do like three.
It's not
like,
Taming in the Shrew or whatever.
It's not the Taming in the Shrew.
Those are the only people that Murphy kicked out of his studio. Live on the air. Do you remember them?
I don't remember.
These two women were really off-color.
I do remember. I remember the name of the group, and I do remember that whole, being a whole thing. Yes, he was not expecting
to
kind of
act. He sent it to an unscripted break and said, oh, let's go. Done.
Yeah.
They were that bad.
What made them, like, swearing?
Well, they didn't swear, just so off, so risque. So, talk about Murphy's head looked like a body part.
like that.
It's, well, I mean, come on, that's funny stuff.
I know, it's a little bit for the 7:15 school bus ride.
Can you guys stick around?
You know? Yeah. Cast the first stone.
Hey, I'm just talking.
Yeah.
So, this is in July.
Yes.
Tickets, when are they go on sale for this? And how... What'd you say? It's $10 an event.
$10 an event. So it's $10 a show, which is great. And we'll be able to do it at the door as well. But yeah, it's July 17th to July 20th. It's that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday across the 9 different locations. Tickets will be available off of gbfringe.com once they're out and located. Gbfringe.com is going to have all the information. It'll tell you how to volunteer. It'll tell you what all the shows are, show times, allow you to buy tickets, all of that stuff. It'll have little blurbs about each of the shows. So again, unlike Taming of the Shrew, you kind of know a little bit more about what you're getting into. It's got a ranking, that sort of thing.
Matt, is this the kind of thing that I know social media has helped, you know, the entertainers, you know, locals so much. But is this the kind of thing that other people might come there just to sort of discover untapped talent?
I would love it. I would love it if they did that. And I think that using social media is one of the ways that we really encourage our performers to help themselves as well. Because as the Green Bay Fringe, we're going to be promoting the Fringe itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we can't be promoting specific acts because that's unfair to the other acts,
right,
really. So we always encourage our performers to get out on their social medias, utilize our site as well, utilize our materials, brand themselves up, and just start promoting it, because the more promotion they're doing before they even get here, the better chance they have of catching some eyes. And
you never know who's in that audience.
You never know. Exactly. You really don't. And you really don't know who's going to become, you know, at worst case scenario, like a lifelong fan and see you every time you come in, or maybe see you the next time they're out somewhere. So yeah, for some of these people, it can be a real big deal. And some of these people have made a very nice living, you know, more or less taking the summer and traveling all around the country. Because as I've said, there's a whole path that people follow, and that's one of the reasons we picked that middle of July, is because it puts us in between Indianapolis, it puts us in between Minnesota, it puts us between Elgin, Illinois, and Kansas City. And those are just a couple of the different locations around here that we're going to slowly then build more partnerships as well.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. It's great.
And I just want to thank you. We talked about a little bit earlier about kind of elevating the city a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we love our sports here.
Yeah.
I think we're pretty well known for natural resources, right? Yeah. We talked about the walleye. We talked about a lot of great things we can do here. But, you know, the arts, we're good. And I think the talent here is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think people, you know,
have had the opportunity.
The Dudley
exposure.
Birder. And I think every time an artist comes in here, and we really feature them on Fridays, but I ask them, is the opportunity there for you to showcase your talents? And we're better at that
than
we used to be.
Can you do it here instead of going to Madison?
It used to be the Brown County Arena, you know, and... Or maybe just some bar.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. There was nothing in between. Yeah. And now, you know, thanks to Tarl and, you know, the Meyer Theater, there's more venues here. And you know, here's another one that you're bringing on. I just hope that Green Bay gets to be known for just an awesome community, because it does have the arts and it's got the restaurants. We're getting better at restaurants.
Mm-hmm. And it can be hard to keep those going, like the comedy clubs over the years.
Yes.
Can be going really strong, and then all of a sudden... economy changes a little bit or whatever. So
exactly, and something drops off. No, I think you both make a great point, because, you know, when I was a kid growing up, you know, it's like, oh, Green Bay is paper plants and the Packers, and that's basically it. Oh, and there's Heritage Hill. But, I mean, outside of that, but I think they've done such a great job. Green Bay has done such a great job of growing beyond that. And I think, again, like you said, the arts is a really good thing, because, I mean, we've got a college right here. We've got multiple colleges right here. And there's also no reason, like they were talking about earlier in the last segment, talking about Marinette. You're always trying to attract people to live where they work. And so one of the things you want, you know, you want the good parks, you want the good schools, you want to be able to find affordable housing, but then you want other things to be able to do outside of the work hours.
Right.
So you want to be able to go to a place to get entertained. You want to be able to go see a band where you don't just have to go to the rec center or go to a bar.
Right.
Like, you want those in-between places. You want to go be able to see, like, plays that you might have to otherwise go up to Peninsula Players or down to Milwaukee to see. You want to feel like you can come see shows. And even better, in this case, shows are coming to you. Shows that you would probably never see. You may never go see, like, the Dinders Brothers Circus. You may never go see, you know, Are We Delicious, which is a group out of Madison that put on a really fun show called Murder last year. You may never get a chance to see those short shows or some of the comedians there to come in. But we're bringing that opportunity to you. And so, again, yeah, in a way, elevating Green Bay, this is a place where people want to come to put on their stuff for you.
And how cool is that? Is that going to be? We have friends that visit all the time.
Yeah.
And I like when they visit in the summer. We have bikes in our garage. We don't take the car because we live pretty close to here.
Yeah.
But we'll invite them this week, right? Because that's a cool week to be here because we can do other things besides.
And such a variety of things there.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I just hope we complement that, like I said, with a few more restaurants and.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that we're so happy to do this in downtown Green Bay as well.
Yeah.
Is because, like, the furthest I think we are east is probably our garage and compound, which is a great space. You were saying earlier you had been to one of the
pieces. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Such a great space.
We love Naomi.
Oh, yeah. And then I think the furthest we are kind of west is probably maybe the Depot, Safe Haven, something like that. But we're all kind of in this area, which, again, allows you to be, like, you go to Captain Walk Winery or you go to St. Brennan's and you're like, this is such a great, cool place to be. And I'm so close to these other restaurants and other bars and other things to see, and I'm along the river. So, like, just getting people to also enjoy Green Bay in the summer is really one of the things we're
Want to stop at Stillmark Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah.
As Brad is coming in
John Henry.
Talk about the Minor Mayor's Top Craft. Matt Z, it's always great seeing you.
Thanks, Matt.
Great
you're never going
to
be Matt or Zella to me. You're always just going to be Matt Z because that was your radio name forever. Give it one more time.
GreenBayFringe.com. Again, that's July 17th to July 20th. All your information is GreenBayFringe.com.
Stay in touch with us on that.
We'll do
We're going to have you back.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely be back.
Or bring your dad.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Back with Brad Stillmark, Stillmark Brewing Company. Back after this. You say night, tell me it's black when I know that it's white. Always the same, it's just a shame, and that's all.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is a fun part of the show right here. You know, we are in this craft.
The craft pick, yeah.
The craft pick, but it's a Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick. So, and we have people who have signed up to be part of this. And this was, can I have favorites? I probably can't have favorites because.
Well, as long as you don't say it on the air, yes, you can have favorites. That's fine. They're all your favorites.
All right, you're right. They're right. They're all my favorites. And we have with us Brad Stillmank from Stillmank Brewing Company right here in Green Bay on Henry. And the reason I say I'm familiar with them, now I can't say I'm one of my favorites because I can't say that. I did their ribbon cutting back in 2014. It was 11 years ago. I can't. Can you believe it's 11 years?
It's gone quickly.
I'm sure you had your ups and downs and COVID and all that other crazy stuff.
Yeah, there's been a little bit of everything for us, but it's been a good 11 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you on site, you obviously make the beer and you're into more than that, just seltzer and.
Yeah, we make a lot of different beers. The one that's kind of the hot topic around town right now is our Green Bay draft beer. It's a honey malt lager, very easy drinking. A lot of the artwork was done and designed for the can and the posters to highlight Green Bay. We're pretty excited about that. We think it's a nice souvenir for folks.
Todd, I got to get this. So this was designed by a friend of ours, who did all the murals in Green Bay.
So you want to put it up here? This is the camera, Jim, right up here.
I'm very high tech. Yeah. So does that work kind of there?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So And this was designed by Bo.
Correct. Yep. Bo Thomas did the work on this one.
Who's done a lot of the murals in Green Bay?
And he's
a young guy, right? 30 years old, 31.
Yeah. Great guy. He's done some work in our tap room as well. He's helped us dress that place up, and always good to work with local talent like Bo.
All right. So tell me what's inside the can.
So this is, like I mentioned before, this is a honey malt lager. Honey malt is a specialty malt. We buy all of our malted barley from Breese Malting, which is based out of Chilton and Manitowoc. So 100% Wisconsin malted barley. And the hops are also grown and harvested and processed here in the state. So this is very much a Wisconsin beer. I've always wanted to make a draft beer. It's kind of been on my list for years and years now. Draft in the beer world really refers to beer that is not pasteurized. So any beer that's not pasteurized can be labeled as draft beer, according to the government. It really indicates that this is something that's not been overly processed and is packaged to drink and consume right away, just like you would a beer from a keg.
That's cool.
That's it?
That's what it's required by the government to put the word draft on your package. Now, of course, with what's going on around town right now, it seemed very timely to get this draft brand and everything up and out. So we started making this beer last year in September. Oh. So it's been in market now for quite a while, and we're gonna intend to keep making it. It just so happens the timeliness of everything that's going around town kind of makes it worth its effort, and really why we designed the can the way we did. We wanted to make this a piece of art that people could not only enjoy consuming, but also maybe keep as a souvenir type thing.
Well, I guess they should. You have everything on here from the snow shovel to the brat, the dinosaur, the museum, cheesehead.
Yeah, it's all Green Bay.
He put everything on here. So you're in this, the Mine on the Mayor's top craft pick. If it was by art design, you would, hands down.
Thank you. Right. Yep.
No, I haven't tasted the beer yet. How many different beers do you offer over there at Stillmark?
You know, we have 16 on tap.
Oh, wow.
All the time at the tap room. Almost always that's stuff that we make in-house. Every now and again, we'll bring in some beers from some of our buddies around town. But it's always local beer on tap at the tap room.
And Green Bay, you know, it's funny. We were just talking to our previous guest about how the... we feel like the arts in Green Bay has been elevated in the last few years, right? I mean, it was kind of sports, but now there's Art Garage, there's more places, more venues for people to perform. The whole microbrewery has grown, right?
Yeah, I think the industry, since we got started, certainly in Wisconsin, has grown considerably. There were already a couple hundred breweries in the state, 11 years back when we got started, but there's more now. The industry's had its challenges over the years, which we kind of talked about. That's certainly still the situation today. It's not always put it in the can and people... get after
line
it,
up.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's work. It's what we love to do. It's our passion in creating new and fun beverages for folks, whether it's beer or like we kind of mentioned earlier, we do make a whole line of hard seltzers.
Yeah.
We're really into hard cider right now. It's kind of our new nerdy fermentation. Kind of
fun.
Did you
hear what he called me? No, I
like that. it's just what we enjoy
right.
and tinkering with.
That is
so.
I teach a class at TC and a couple of business classes, and we always talk about marketing and failed products, right?
Okay.
There's not enough test marketing. Walk me through what you do when it comes to, because you have a lot of new products, right?
The industry kind of demands that there's always... what's next?
Right.
We get asked that all the time. So to be innovative is important to our business. There's no doubt about it. I get asked every now and again, how long does it take to kind of take something from concept to actual something that you're going to sell or start consuming? And it's on average about 8 or 9 months from the idea as a concept to something that we're going to actually have in package.
It's not bad.
It's not terrible. And not all of them work.
Right.
And our consumers let us know. And it's not always, I think that what we put out is always high quality. Mm-hmm. It's always something that we in the brewery enjoy drinking and are happy with for sure and very much excited about most of the time. But that doesn't always mean it resonates, whether it's the liquid, it's the marketing, it's the timeliness of it, it's the package size. Time of year, there's mm-hmm. so many things that are going to drive consumer behavior. And when we think that we nail it most of the time, but certainly there are times when things go away. And sometimes we think maybe we're just kind of ahead of the game with some things. We're seeing a trend coming and we put something out for it and maybe the trend hasn't hit yet. We've got a brand that we're going to launch here in another about 6 weeks that's really a relaunch. We made an IPA called Local IPA. And the emphasis on the marketing was the local or locale. About 3 or 4 years ago, that was something that we thought, this is what consumers are interested in. They're looking for something that's a little bit lower alcohol, lower calorie, something they can really session on, enjoy all day long, but still be very full flavored. we did okay with it, but not as well as we had hoped. And so we put it on the kind of the shelf for a while. And we're going to bring that back this year. We think that the industry's telling us again, let's get after things that we can enjoy maybe a little bit longer session of the day versus just something that's going to be high potency.
You won't be the first company that rebranded and remarketed a product. I mean, that's, you can be very successful with that because you're right. Timing, the market tells you a lot. We're talking with Brad Stillmake from Stillmake Brewing. He's the owner of Stillmake Brewing over on Henry Street here in Green Bay. Talk to me a little bit about the distribution of your product, right? You have a place that we can walk into. It's very
sure.
nice. People want to take this. They want to buy it. How do we do that?
So that is actually one of the unique things about our business model is when I was putting together the idea and the concept for what this business was going to be, it was largely based around wholesale distribution and making sure we were making products mm-hmm. that other retailers, whether it's a tavern, bar, restaurant, Quick Trip, festival, what have you, would all have success also generating dollars from. And making sure that we were promoting those in a way that were attractive to customers and drive customers to those places, not necessarily drive them to our brewery. Many breweries nowadays are built around, hey, we're going to have this tap room. We're going to have people come and see us. We want to show off all of our equipment and possibly serve food and all these other things to contain people at their locations. For us, it really has very little to do with our tap room and our space. Our space is built almost exclusively for large production and making sure that we can get brands off the loading dock to trucks that can take them around town and see them celebrated at all of our favorite places to go and have a pint or, you know, take some cans home with you. So
that's an interesting model because you're right. I mean, there's, but whatever works. I mean,
right.
The packaging then becomes really important.
Absolutely.
Good thing you brought Bo on.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the packaging and really the package size, we went to cans immediately. That was a trend that I kind of felt passionately about when we got the business started, that cans were where I wanted my product to be. They've got plenty of advantages to keeping the product itself as fresh as possible mm-hmm. over what bottles do. It was not, as well received 10 years ago or 11 years ago as it is today. Now it's kind of the norm. It's the common thing. You find almost every craft brand or almost every beer brand in cans, not maybe long necks like it was 10, 15 years ago. But it's come around. So whether we're going into a 16-ounce package or a 12-ounce package, we've got to decide what that's going to be for that particular brand. And staying away from bottles, again, it helps us because it makes sure that the beer is as fresh as it possibly can be. I had people ask me a long time ago, I said, why aren't you in bottles? And I say, well, what do you prefer? Do you prefer to have a fresh beer off tap somewhere or the bottle? And overwhelmingly, it's like, no, I want the freshest beer I can get. I want that thing off the tap. And I said, you know, there are really no glass kegs being wheeled into the back of that bar. So trust me, this can is the best way to get the product to you wherever you're at.
Wow. What are the things, Jim, I just wanted to mention this. One of the things Brad has said, and we've heard this a lot during this whole promotion that we've been doing, is that the community, right, the brewing, the cider, the distillery, this community really works well together. Like, you guys share information. You talk about, hey, what are you guys working on? We're doing this, whatever. I think it's somewhat unique. I'm not sure that other industries are quite as communicative.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely correct. That doesn't mean we're not competitive with each other,
right,
though. We all are interested in seeing our own businesses thrive. There's no doubt. But when it comes down to getting together and doing collaborative projects, whether that's making a beer together or just, hey, man, I'm out of this hop. Do you have any available? Or I need some can lids or grain, whatever it is. We're all kind of there for each other on all those things. And if there's an event at one person's spot, we're usually interested in either attending, certainly attending, or you know, helping promote or highlight, making sure really that our industry, our little teeny craft beer brand industry that's now growing into what it is in our area here in Green Bay, has an opportunity to thrive together.
Kudos for you guys for doing that. And it's good for the industry because, you know, it's one of those higher tide raises all boats. But it's also easier for us as consumers because what were you doing over there? You know, we don't want to hear that, you know. And there are industries that don't like that if you support
There's no doubt. I think you know, having things like anytime there's a game in town, of course, or we've got something like the draft coming to town that we're all looking forward to here in a few weeks, we're going to have a lot of people coming by our place and saying, hey, where else should I go?
Right.
Right. And we're going to be trying to highlight some of our favorite restaurants, other taverns, but also the other breweries and saying, hey, these guys are great, too. Why don't you go check them out? You know, I know you're going to find somebody. Here's our pick. You
That's
know?
Awesome. And I just want to introduce Pete, who works for Civic Media, obviously, who put this whole thing together, man. We're calling on people, and they do like working together, right?
Yeah, they like working together. You know, people actually wanted to like be with me and talk with me. It's pretty cool, you know?
For a sales guy who thrives on rejection, I mean, it's just great that you're... They were receptive to this.
Definitely, and, you know, it's just a real fun opportunity, you know, and I think everybody kind of brings their own little, like, unique flavors and such to, you know, to the table. I mean, like, Brad here with his seltzers and ciders, I mean, that's really... something kind of, I think, is separating for you.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good to have options for everybody. We know that people coming in our tap room are going to be excited about maybe a stout or an IPA or something heavy, but they're likely bringing somebody else along that maybe just a domestic beer consumer, or maybe doesn't like beer at all, wants a wine or something. So if we can have a seltzer or a cider or something else that's nice, it kind of fits all the bills. And we hope that goes across town.
That will. Can you stick around? A couple of business questions for you. I just think this is great. Thanks for participating in this. You
know, absolutely.
Like I said, you know, me, Pete, Johnny, and Todd, our goal is to get to every one of them who's in this draft pick. So I got to get out there.
Yeah.
Well, I got to just pace myself. I can't do them all in one day. All right. We'll be right back. Mino and the Mayor with their top craft pick. We'll be right back.
About to put my mouth in gear. This little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
He likes beer.
My wife often frowns when we're out.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer.
There could be a better song, right? All right. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor. This is Brad Stillmake with Stillmake Brewing, who's part of the Mino and the Mayor Top Craft Pick. And his place is located right over on Henry, a participant. And we're talking earlier about the packaging, which is unbelievable that you have. I just think this is, and we showed it earlier, and we'll have a picture of it on our Facebook and our website. Tell me, 11 years. I'm interested a little bit in the ownership of the business, if you don't mind sharing that with me, especially in teaching. Now, is it C Corp? Is it a partnership? A sole proprietorship? How did you set this all up, and how's it been?
Yeah, so we're a corporation. We're C Corp. We were set up. It started as an LLC when we were running beer. So we started, and this is a long story that I'm going to make as short as I can here. We started brewing beer with no money. This is my wife and I are the owners. We really had no money, so we started as the best way we could, which was contract brewing, which means another brewery makes the beer and packages the beer for you, and then it's up to you to take it and sell it wherever you're going. We had an agreement with the Milwaukee Brewing Company for our first 2 years. We were making a brand called Wisco Disco, and we shipped 100% of that back to Green Bay just to sell here where we live. And the effort was to show that we could find some distribution and have some sales and find somebody that would offer us a loan. We finally got all that stuff together. It took a couple years to do it, but got the loans to come through. Even though we really weren't making any money, there was potential for it. It was really cool. Bought our building on Henry Street in 2014, put a little bit of equipment into it, and then and grew Wisco Disco and a number of other brands from that point. Huh? Yeah.
Well, that's great. And it's, again, nothing's easy, but it's easier than it was back then.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, money was really tight. We had plenty of people as we'd go around town promoting Wisco Disco and a few of our other, at that time, new beers that would approach us and say, hey, this is something that we think is really cool. We love the beer. Any chance you'd be interested in you know, taking on an investor? And as hard as that is to do as a young company that, you know, is pretty cash strapped, We really felt like this was something we were doing for our family for the long term, and it was going to be a struggle. We were going to have to take it slow. It wasn't going to be a rock star right out of the gates. We were just going to do the best with it we could. A big part of life is enjoying the ride, so let's enjoy what we're doing and not be overly concerned about it and make it what we can make it. And here we are 11 years later. It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. Hey, so what's next? I mean, you were talking at break. A lot of these distilleries popping up, you know.
Yeah,
20 of them, I think. We've had a couple of them in this whole contest, and wineries have always been pretty strong, and they.
There's no doubt, and the distilleries are doing a great job. They're making great products. We're good friends with a number of the distillers around town as well, and that's even can be a collaborative thing. When they're done with a bourbon barrel, we're happy to reuse that and put a stronger beer in it or some mead or cider.
Did you guys watch 60 Minutes last night? Anybody watch 60 Minutes last night?
I did not.
Oh, my. Did you? Anybody?
No, I missed it.
Oh, my God. It was the guy who makes the barrels.
Oh, cool.
This guy, he's printing money because they reuse them. What you just said. Yeah. They reuse them. He makes them for his bourbon, but then people reuse them and they'll put beer in there because it adds that little special flavor to it. And
it does.
He ships them all over the world. It's like... anyways, pretty interesting what he's doing. But
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, just as friendly as we are with the other breweries in town, you know,
partnerships with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's great that you guys work together. I just hope it stays that way. And it sounds like it's going to. You're all super nice people that we have on the show. Yeah. And glad to meet you guys all. All right. So, but you're going to stick with the beer, the seltzers, or?
So, yeah, a beer is always going to be our focus. It has been from day one. It's really only in the last couple of years that seltzer and the seltzer market really made a boom. We jumped on that actually a little bit late. I was hesitant to get into it. Certainly glad we have now. We had to kind of take our own spin on it. We don't do, I shouldn't say we don't do, that's poor. We don't make seltzers like some of the larger brands, similar to the way we don't make beer like the larger brands do. We have our own kind of spin on that. And then in the last really year and a half, cider or hard cider with apples, picked and pressed in Door County and around the state has been really a big focus for us. We enjoy the process. It's a new challenge. It's something that's not like making beer, although we can use a lot of the same equipment to do it. And it goes on tap and in cans the same way. So it's another beverage that we're really excited about and interested in pursuing further that's just starting to be developed.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So Still Make Brewing... website or tell me how you get
Still
in touch with you.
StillMankBrewing.com. Facebook is StillMank Beer on Facebook and all the socials. Put StillMank in. It's kind of a weird word. You'll get to us.
All right. So, you listeners, vote for these guys in this Mine on the Mayor Top Craft pick.
Easy to do. Stuff. Can I just throw that out there?
Yeah.
You can go to our website, wgbw.fm. Or WISS.FM, click on the top craft pick, and then you choose the one you want. If it's StillMank, you click that, boom, you're in. They get a vote, and we'll wrap this thing up on the 18th.
We would appreciate your vote. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
I've said that before.
We should have done yard signs for everybody in this, right?
Yeah.
Definitely car top carriers. You know, got it all on there. So how's it been going for you, Pete, as a sales guy?
Things are picking up.
They
know, it's like it's getting warm out. People want to be outside. They want to have a cool, refreshing beverage. Yeah. You know, so make it StillMank. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to do that.
Do it. Absolutely.
But this is that festival you said?
Yeah, you really can find that just about anywhere around town at this point. Yep.
Right. That's where I was yesterday when I drove by your place.
Yeah.
And then I went by there. Well, thanks for coming in, and good luck with this. What else is going on with the draft for you? Expecting good things?
You know, we're hoping for the best. I think like everybody in town, we'll have food trucks all week long, and we're extending hours at the tap room. Depending on weather, we may set up some stuff outside. We're just kind of taking it as it comes and doing our best. Again, this Green Bay draft beer that we're canning and kegging, our goal has always been to put out a product that can be very lucrative for our partners around town, be it the bars, taverns, retailers.
Right.
And we want to see that succeed. And that's really our biggest push.
All right,
people
cool.
want to see us, come on by. That's
all
cool
right,
too.
We're looking forward to it. Yeah. Give me your address one more time on Henry.
All right, we're 215 North Henry Street.
All right, right across from the DPW garage. Can't miss that. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Todd. This is an awesome lineup again. Pete, thanks for coming in. I haven't seen you in a while here. All right, we sure want to thank Brittany Merlot from Civic Media, meteorologist, and Chuck Willens from the Veterans Salute. Of course, the mayor was in, and Sean from the city of Marinette, Matt Z from Green Bay Fringe, and, of course, Brad from StillMake. We'll see you tomorrow. Mine on the Mayor.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.